Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. We got a special program here today, and I'll be talking about that in just a minute. But just a reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, as well. And certainly some other information there, as well as past programs, including our Sunday night programs. I think I am current up through this past Sunday, so that's pretty good, and a number of other things that you can find. Latest article I have on there is Healing in the Atonement. That's with a question mark there. Many believe that there is physical healing in the atonement. If so, is it permanent or temporary, complete or limited, or not at all? And you can read that article at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, also want to mention I got two things I want to mention here before we get started, but let's go ahead and mention this first. I have a special guest in the studio with us today, and we have Jason Urchak. I want to make sure I get that right. With us today, and his wife, and I'm going to introduce him in just a minute here with a unique ministry called Release Time, and we're going to be talking about that. A program that helps your church be able to reach high school students, and so we'll be talking about that in just a minute. Also, I wanted to mention before I forget, Thursday, February 22nd, is the Freedom Banquet in Akron, Fairlawn, Hilton, and if you go to ohioca.org, that's ohioca.org, they will be... they have tickets and information available on the Ohio Christianized Freedom Banquet there. They have a candidate forum scheduled. Bob France is going to be overseeing that, and then Bob Burney is going to be overseeing the rest of the program, and Bill Federer is going to be speaking on the real socialism, the real history from Plato to the present. And if you've ever read any of his books, you know you're in for a lot. Somebody best described him as like trying to drink from a fire hose. You're familiar with David Martin and his works on history in the United States. Bill Federer is similar to that, and so I think he's a real blessing. But that is ohioca.org, and you can find out more information about their Freedom Banquet on Thursday, February 22nd. All right. Well, with that in mind, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll get into our program here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. And again, help us to encourage believers in their walk with Christ. And we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live. I get tongue-tied every once in a while. I go back to Sunday night. We're here every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight. This is Live with Pastor Al during the day, and so not Sunday night. I have come on and started the program saying, welcome to Late Night Live. We're until midnight tonight. Midnight from now would be a long time on the radio. But this is our afternoon program. We're only here till 2 o'clock. But Jason, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself. I heard from you originally talking about the Risen Youth Release Time Ministry, which is really intriguing. And I know that there's probably somebody out there listening who's going to be able to benefit from this, their church. Jason, if you could just introduce yourself, where are you from originally? How did you get saved?
So my name's Jason. I'm here with my wife, Carrie, and we have two children, ages 4 and 2. So I grew up in Ritztown, Ohio. I was raised in a Catholic home, church was kind of a religion to me. Never really had a relationship, never desired to know God or please Him. Ended up, long story short, ended up getting into a hard place in my life when I was 26. I was pursuing everything I thought would make me happy, money, pleasure, parties. I also had a very serious stuttering problem growing up. I did not like public speaking. I couldn't public speak, and I would run from it. And as I said, a long story short, I cried out to God when I was 26 for salvation. This is when I began talking to a friend who was a believer, began reading the Bible, and everything kind of came to a head when I was 26. Conviction, lack of peace, and an understanding of who God is. And that's when I turned to Christ, and that's when my life began to change. However, I didn't get into church. I'm the youth pastor at First Freedom Baptist Church in Kent, Ohio right now. But I didn't get into church after my salvation until maybe a year and a half or 2 years. So I really lacked Christian growth. I really lacked encouragement and victory. But when I did get into church, I got baptized there at First Freedom and got involved there. And that's when I really began to grow as a Christian, experience victory. And that's where God called me to preach. As I got involved in ministry, I began to have a desire to teach. And I knew that it wasn't me because I didn't want to do it. I couldn't do it. As I already mentioned, I grew up with a serious stuttering problem. My dad stuttered. I just avoided all types of conversation, all types of public speaking. So as this desire in me began to grow to teach, I began to submit to it. And as I did, God gave me the power to do what He called me to do. And now I'm doing things I never thought I could do because of His grace, because of His power. So I became the youth pastor in 2017 at First Freedom, and I had a desire to reach lost teenagers, and I knew the public school was a great chance to do that. I didn't want to do an after-school program because I knew teenagers wouldn't come to that. I wouldn't have gone to that as a lost teenager. So that didn't really excite me. And then I heard about something called release time programs, where it's actually legal to pull students out of school during the school day. So during school hours, students can be released and attend your program. And as I began to look into this and pursue this, God began to open doors and give us connections with our local public school. And we started our first release time program in 2018 at Field Middle School. The first year we did it, I think we had 4 kids total. So I was debating on continuing to do it. And then the next year, some things changed and the principal allowed me to come in and invite students to our program. So I continued to do it into the next year, and we had 50 kids that year and then 70 kids the following year, just in Field Middle School. And as years went by, I began to realize this is a great opportunity. Students love it. It's great for churches to reach into the schools, to reach the community. The schools seem to be open to it, so I began to pursue more schools. So next year, I think it was, 2021, we got into Field High School. Then we pursued Ritztown Schools, my home school. We got in there, and then Ravenna. And we just continue to see God open the doors for this ministry and a great response from the students. Now I currently teach 3 of the programs, Ritztown, Field, and Ravenna, but I also help other churches start their own programs. So my goal now is to get connected to churches and to help them have their own release time programs in their local school.
Now, when you're looking at this, is this something that's like a once-a-week thing or every other day, or how do they do that?
Basically? So it's really up to the church and their resources. Mm-hmm. So a church could have a once-a-month program. A church could do a once-a-week program. It really depends on what the pastor wants to do. One thing I do try to stress to pastors, because sometimes we hear about this ministry and we think it's this giant undertaking that's going to require a ton of people, but really it doesn't take a whole lot of people and a whole lot of time to do a once-a-month program. The hardest part is getting into the school, and that's the part that I want to help churches do. Really, it only takes 2 to 4 people to do a once-a-month program for a couple hours per month. And it's just a great chance to get connected to these students, to get connected to their families. And what's really kept me burdened, Pastor, is students that young people that would not come to church will come to this because it's during the school day. Students that won't stay after, students that won't come before school to a program, they'll come to this because it's during school hours. So lots of our kids, over half of them, are unchurched, but they'll come to this and they'll hear the gospel because it's during the school day.
Now, when they come, how do they get to, it's at the church, and so they're at the school. Is there transportation provided, or do they provide their own transportation? How do the kids get to the program?
So for a release time program to be legal, it has to be off school grounds, it has to be privately funded, and it has to be voluntary with parental permission. So the church or the ministry has to provide everything. Basically, the students are legally being released to the church from the school. So the school has no say, really, what you teach or where you take them. I mean, obviously, we want to have a good relationship with the school, so we tell them where we're going to go and our plans and things. But it's up to the church. Now, one of the challenges is finding a location, because you can't be too far from the school because you only have a certain amount of time with the students. But we've just seen God provide so many locations. We can use libraries, we can use public buildings, we can use private buildings, we can use churches, YMCAs. Where I'm actually working with Pastor Suglio now. He's at Heritage Baptist in Willoughby, and we just met with the Willoughby administration, and there's a YMCA right next to the school. So we've got permission from them to walk the students there for the program. So really finding a location is part of the challenge, but we've seen God provide time and time again.
All right. And that actually brought up another question that I had too, because you initially started, of course, in Portage County, and you've been spreading out there, and of course, up into, I think you said your last one there in Wycliffe. That's what, is that?
Willoughby, yeah.
Willoughby, is that Cuyahoga, or is that in the Lake County? I can't remember. It's right on the edge.
I don't know.
That might be Lake County. Yeah. I don't know. But have you noticed a difference? You know, because you know, I'm from Summit County and just north of Akron, and I notice a difference when I come up here, say into Cuyahoga County and different things like that. You do have some different differences culture-wise and acceptance of things between say Summit, Medina, and Portage versus, say, Cuyahoga, Lorain, counties like that. Have you noticed any difference, or is this something that the schools seem to have been open to regardless of where?
Well, I do think the schools see where the young people are today with the depression, with the suicide, the addictions. The schools are over their head in the need that these kids have. So they are open to more help, but more important than that is this is a legal right for a parent to have their student released during the school day. And most schools already have a policy saying they will release the student if the written consent is turned in. We just kind of play off that policy and the state law and the national law actually for release time to put together a program that gives the students the opportunity to come and to be helped and to be encouraged and to learn, obviously, learn the truth.
Right. Now, if somebody wants to learn more about this program, do you have a website that they can go to?
Yes, risenyouth.org is our website, and our home church is First Freedom Baptist Church.
All right. And if they go there, they can find out more information and obviously about it. And you're talking about the relationship with the church or the schools earlier there, and I can see where you want to have a beneficial relationship.
Yeah, that's definitely helpful to the program.
Yeah. And I can see where that happens. And you mentioned about your initial there with Field, starting with, I think you said 4, and then next thing you knew, you had quite a bit more. And have you seen similar things in other schools, start off small, and then as kids get into it, they, and as the church gets their feet wet, that they suddenly seem to see more people coming in?
Yeah, definitely the middle school programs are more attended than the high school programs. There's no doubt about that. And from what I've seen, it seems like the once a month programs are more attended because it's maybe more of a novelty to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
However, obviously the once a week programs, you're going to be able to influence and pour more into them. So it really just depends on what a pastor would want to do, what his vision is. It does seem that the programs do gain popularity. So our first year at Ravenna Middle School, we had maybe 15. This year we have, I think, almost 45 signed up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you continue, the schools begin to see, hopefully we have a good testimony, and
right.
The schools begin to see that this is a good thing, and they begin to cooperate even more and more, and in letting the students come maybe for a longer period of time or more often. But yeah, it does seem as a program continues to go, it does continue to grow.
Right.
You know.
Now, I know you've been doing this for a few years now. Is there any particular cases where you've dealt with some of these young people that really stand out to you, or you've really seen churches be able to make a difference in these young people's lives?
We did have at our field program this Christmas Eve, a young man, he's in sixth grade at field, and he goes to our field program. And we sent out an invitation to all of our release time families for our Christmas Eve service. And his family ended up coming to our service, and the young man's older brother prayed to get saved at our service. So it's just funny how the family came because of the invitation through release time, but it's an older brother that didn't come to release time,
mm-hmm.
that prayed to get saved. There's, yeah, and they keep coming to church. They've been coming pretty faithfully to our Sunday services. There's another young man who we're connected with. We haven't seen him pray for salvation, turn to Christ yet, but he's been through a lot. He's been in a lot of trouble, just a very difficult life, and he gets bullied a lot. He's in a really hard place, but he trusts us, and he'll talk to us because mm-hmm. of the program. He's been coming for 3 years, and he's in a really bad place right now, but he does talk to us, and he is willing to talk about spiritual things. So just different situations that wouldn't be possible
right.
If the ministry wasn't in the school, not in the school, but I guess accessible to the students.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I looked at some of the different things that are going on there, and you touched on something, too, I'd like to come back to. You talked about the invitation that went out for your Christmas Eve service mm-hmm. and seeing the family come. And I know some people are probably wondering about that. How often do we see people? Not that we want to do this just for a numbers game.
Yeah.
But how often do you see families reached? You know, like you shared with that young man, his older brother getting saved, his family coming to your church as a result of that. Is that something that's a rare thing or fairly common, just somewhere in between?
It's rarer than we'd like it to be. we have had lots of kids come to our youth events. We've had families visit the church. There's a girl that comes to our youth group now. She's been coming for probably 2 or 3 years, and she prayed to get saved at our church as well. And she's been coming faithfully for 2 or 3 years, and we met her through release time. Had a lot of just different interactions with parents that they now know who we are. They know where our church is, who our church is. They know about the program. There was a post on Facebook. So I go into the school to field during the fall, and they let me pass out forms to the students mm-hmm. during the lunchtime to kind of invite them. And a parent got on Facebook in the field community page, and they're kind of like, who is this? What's this program? And then, you know, you're seeing different parents talking back and forth to each other about the program, and it was just a really great testimony because they were all complimenting the program. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a local church, and the program is very well organized, and they love the kids. So just a great testimony that we've been able to have in the community through the program. as well.
And now, you personally, as a youth pastor, mm-hmm. and certainly as somebody that has a heart for these young people, for you personally, what have you realized in your own life through this, the things that have maybe been spoken out to you and encouraged mm-hmm. you in the work that God's got for you to do?
Just the truth that we need to go where they are. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think they're going to come to us for our Bible studies or for our Sunday schools, and that just doesn't really happen. Jesus went to Matthew in the tax booth. Jesus went to the demoniac. We need to go where they are, and this is a great opportunity to do that. As I already said, young people that would never step foot in a church will hear the gospel because we're going to where they are, and we're going to the public school.
Right.
And this is an opportunity every church has, every community, I don't say community, but every church has to get into their local school and begin sowing into these young people.
And you mentioned something there in their local school district. I would assume it's probably a given you should be in the school district that you're attempting to.
Well, yeah, that's the best option, but you don't have to be.
Okay.
So our church is in Brimfield, but we also have a program in Ritztown. That's the town
right,
over.
Right.
And I also help with the program in Ravenna, which is another town over. So I talked with a pastor this morning about getting into some schools around him. He has a vision for two or three schools that are around him, not just mm-hmm. in his community, but church schools near his community. So if a church has the resources and the desire to reach multiple schools, they could do that.
Now, you have these kids coming in, and they're in middle school, and if they continue through high school and all mm-hmm. that, I was just thinking of this because you're in Kent, and you know, you're at Kent State University
yeah.
there. Do you think there's any possibility, or have you seen anything where some of these young people, perhaps as they go on to higher education, may have a desire for something like this even further along? I mean, it's beyond your program maybe, perhaps, but just thinking of the growth. Down the way, do they stick with it and have a desire to continue to learn?
Well, this is only our third year in mm-hmm. the high schools, and
so it's kind of early
as I said, the high schoolers aren't as quick to respond mm-hmm. to the program because just for some different reasons, I believe. But I can't say that I've seen someone go on into college and have a desire for. To continue this
right.
type of ministry
yeah.
or this type of...
Yeah, I was just kind of curious if maybe it would open doors for you in the future to expand a little bit, maybe perhaps another program, you know, other than this one, because I know you don't want to lose the focus on where you're at.
Yeah.
But it just seems interesting what would happen to these young people as you go further down, maybe a few years if the Lord tarries, you'd be able to see what's happening as they continue through.
There was a testimony...
Yeah, you got about 2 minutes.
There was a testimony. So we did an after-school program at our local elementary school, and a young man that heard the gospel there, and I think he professed faith there. Like 12 years later, he graduates Field High School, and he ends up getting baptized and really committing his life to God. But that was because of a ministry. Well, he gave... he said that it was because of the ministry in the school 10 years ago that really is where he really learned about Christ and made the profession of faith. And he referred back to that 10 years later when he truly decided to commit his life to the Lord and really move forward in his walk with Christ. So you never know the seeds that you sow into these young people
right.
When it's going to really...
Right.
When God's going to give the increase. But.
Well, that is a tremendous thing when you think about that. I'm glad you shared that because, you know, we oftentimes as pastors and such see young people come through our churches
yeah.
and we say something and we don't know whatever happens. And
mm-hmm.
to find out years later
Amen.
that seed
yeah.
bore fruit is always a blessing. You hear the music coming. We got about a minute or so to go. What's the website again if people want to find out more?
RisenYouth.org.
RisenYouth.org.
Yep.
And if somebody is in a church and they want to be able to get involved, that's the best place to start, wouldn't it?
Yep. Reach out to me. I would love to talk with you more about it, explain anything you want to know, answer
right.
any questions you have.
Jason, I appreciate you being with us here and your wife, Carrie, for being with us in the studio. We're out of time here. Check it out, risenyouth.org. Thanks for listening. God bless, and have a great weekend.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.